A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 14 January 2025, Tuesday class. So as usual, we will gather, have our pre-puja, then after that we will have our class sharing. Let us compose the mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bunsu Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Mila Fo, Namo Mila Fo, Namo Mila Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa, Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. We'll continue our chanting from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina dilokadipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pu pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monintasa pada sarorohe pujemi butang kasumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokang pupang mila yati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bhante paniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bhante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bhante bhojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we shall chant our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light to the Buddha. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May these offerings of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that it will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we pay respect to Pajam. Padang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, as usual, we are off the light. And we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Developing this awareness within us is very important. The inner awareness is to enable us to have the sati within. When you are aware without thought, you are in sati. When you are thinking or become heedless, you are lost in thought. Because man can do only one thing at a time. Either you are constantly aware without thought, or you are preoccupied with your thinking, means you are lost in thought. That's why you become heedless. When you think a lot, your entire mind is engulfed within the confine of the thought process. Means you are preoccupied with all its sankhara activity and movement. That's why you don't have space or awareness to be silent, to aware, to be aware and to observe what is going on within the moment. So understanding this is very important. So awareness-based meditation is not to create more thought, not to arise more thinking. You are there to develop only the inner awareness. To be aware, you only need to completely silence your mind. Without thought, you are already aware. Because the primordial mind, which is the pure awareness nature, was the beginning of manifestation of thought. Without that awareness nature, you cannot come. You can only come with the pure awareness nature within your form and mind. But living beings are not familiar with this nature. That's why since birth, they become so conditioned. While they learn and pick up what they call knowledge, then they accumulate them through their brain activity. That's why we call it the accumulation process. So all of your life learning and experience, you accumulate them. So whatever memory, good or bad, you accumulate. Yeah. So this accumulation is the beginning of thought process. That's why J. Krishnamurti make a very important statement that can let us understand. He said the beginning of thought is the beginning of registration by the brain via the memory. This accumulation created what we call knowledge, then views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, then all the accumulated psychological memory, like your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your sorrow, your lamentation, your frustration, your envy, your jealousy. All these are your psychological memory, which are very negative. Yeah. Of course, there are also memory of good moments, happy moments. But the negative emotion, especially fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, this one is very powerful. It causes a lot of what they call fear in the living being. And out of fear, you worry. You become like not yourself. You panic. That's why our meditation here is to reverse all this by remaining silent so that this thought activity cannot influence you, cannot cause any delusion in you. That's why without awareness, you are heedless, and the heedless are as if dead. That's why the Buddha emphasized on heedfulness. To be heedful, you have to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. Then to be ever mindful, you need to train your mind to be mindful first, or aware, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. So that's the reason why we need to develop this inner awareness. Okay? Then remember the four support that can support you to develop the awareness-based meditation within. As I have gone through before, the first three support are very important. First support is just relax body and mind. When you relax them, there is no thinking. No need to know, no need to do, no need to think. Just aware. Yeah. So the second support is aware. But the first support is very important. You cannot relax body and mind. You cannot have awareness. You tend to be thinking, lost in thought. Your mind will wander off very fast. So ability to relax body and mind so that you are at peace, so that you got nothing to disturb you or haunt you. Otherwise, that thinking, the sankhara activity, can bring forth fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Then your heedless habitual tendency make you heedless through that constant habit of reacting and stirring your mind with every moment of sense experience. That's why you can relax and just let things be, let the mind settle down. Then the awareness will surface. Then you stay with the awareness. Means first support, relax body and mind, then maintain awareness. The awareness, keep on maintaining it. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Means whatever arises at the sixth sense door, just aware. Don't try to know, don't try to think, don't try to continue with the thought proliferation, the habitual thinking. No need. Just aware. Then finish, let it be. Then the next sense door, contact arise, aware, finish. Then the third support is to stabilize this inner awareness. When you can do the first two very well, your third support will kick in. Means you can maintain this awareness within. Then you have move over to a new way of living. Instead of constantly lost in thought, think a lot, now you are most of the time peaceful, quiet, tranquil, just aware. Yeah. So relax, aware, maintain awareness. So maintaining awareness leading to the stabilization of it is very useful, very important. Okay? Then for those who have managed to train and develop the stability of it, you can move on to the third support, which is trust. T-R-U-S-T. Trust your inner nature to meditate. Trust your inner nature to develop the inner movement. To do that, you silence everything, then maintain awareness at the heart area. Stay at the heart area. Then don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just let the nature move. It will detect itself. Then whatever it detects, you just stay with it. Initially, maybe you will come to understand that your whole body is full of vibration, especially your heart area. You will detect the pounding of the heart, the heartbeat. Stay with it. Or you may detect some vibration around your heart area. Wherever your awareness can come into contact with, let it move. Then let it stay there. Until the whole mind becomes very quiet and very still. Whatever thinking that is due to the habitual activity that you have developed through the heedless daily life, just let it be. Don't try to resist, don't try to fight, don't try to do anything. Don't even try to reason or analyze and try to find an answer why you are not peaceful, why you are not quiet. No need. Just relax, maintain awareness, and everything will fall into place. Because whatever sankhara activity or thought movement or process or mental state, they are dependent originating condition arising entity, not intrinsic within you. That's why you only need to relax, maintain awareness, silent, stay with it, be with it. Then everything will cease. Like J. Krishnamurti's famous saying, the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. So thought cannot remain as thought unless you feed it with thought energy through your own wrong view and delusion or heedless thinking. If you just relax, maintain awareness, the awareness will take over. Then when all this energy that fuel the movement dissipate and cease, then all thoughts cease, all mental states, they will cease. Even your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your anger, your emotion, your jealousy, they will all cease. Yeah. So realize this. Silent and be with it, then it will cease. And every time it ceases, you will come to a great understanding, awakening, that all this mind state, they are dependent originating, non-intrinsic within your nature. Your pure nature is just aware, without thought, without duality. That's why its characteristic is tranquility, stillness, silence, peace, aware. And that is your true mind, your meditative mind. Realize that. Then you will do well, you will progress, and you will understand many things on your own. Wisdom can only arise when there is awareness within, when your sati is very stable, when that pure awareness nature, your silent mind, can be there. And when that happens, my nature rejoices with you. Yeah. So I'll let you meditate on your own now. Then I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner awareness, inner calmness, and inner peace that you have developed for as long as you can. Bring this state into your daily life. Okay, stabilize the inner awareness so that most of the time you are peaceful, aware, silent, and mindful within. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamang Muni Rajasa Sunanto Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Ittipeso Bhagava Araham Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Sokato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi paseko opanaiko pacatang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango ujjupatipanno bhagavato vakkasango Nyayapatipanno Vato Sakkasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yokani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you can be seated. Then we will continue from where we stop. We are following this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, commentaries by Tripitaka Master Xuan Hua. Yeah? We are at Volume 4, Chapter 3, A Parables. Okay, now we continue. The Buddha has also realized the 10 spiritual penetrative powers and the 4 kinds of fearlessness. The 10 power has been explained many times before, and the 4 kinds of fearlessness has also been discussed a couple of times. Now let us review the 4 kinds of fearlessness. Number one is a fearlessness deriving from knowledge of all phenomena. With knowledge of all phenomena, one is not afraid of anything. Because this knowledge of all phenomena is a very penetrative awakening or understanding that will arise when you have penetrated the universal characteristics of all phenomena. Because they all exhibit the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta. And these are universal characteristics because within the conditioned world, everything is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. And because of that, they have to have that universal characteristic, starting with impermanent. There is a conditioned world. Everything that arises, all phenomena that arise, they are dependent originating. That's why based on causes and conditions, they arise. Without causes and conditions, nothing arises. And because it's impermanent, following causes and conditions, that's why there is a nature's law that governs all of phenomena, including all of life. and existence, means everything within the conditioned world, they have the pancha niyamas that governs them. Yeah. This pancha niyama are the universal order of nature. The first two are scientific law, uttu niyama and bija niyama, or nature's order of physical things. They behave in that rhyme, following all the physical law that the scientist has discovered and developed. Then they have bija niyama, which is the biological order of all nature's phenomena. So all biological entity, organic entity, they follow this law. Then the other three are spiritual law that governs life and existence. The Buddha also realized what they are. First, most powerful is the law of karma. Karma niyama. All living beings that are born into this existential world or universe, they came through the karmic process. Yeah. So this karmic process is the one that enable the form and mind to arise. That's why this form and mind for us is a human being. This one is dependent originating, condition arising. That's why it's karmically conditioned out. Without the karmic nature, it cannot come. But even that karmic nature needs supporting condition for it to arise. And the most common one is avijja, ignorance. When a person or a living being pass away, the last thought moment, if there is avijja or ignorance, then it will condition rebirth consciousness. Then that process of rebirth, or what they call birth and death within existence, we call it samsara, that process will continue unending. Yeah. But there are beings that have developed enlightenment, awakening, and when they pass away, their last thought moment is without avijja. They just, with the wisdom, arise, and the life force no more is ceased. Then their whole nature actually ceases. That's why they realize nibbana. So that one don't have rebirth consciousness. But those who go the bodhisattva way, those who take the bodhisattva way, they know how to develop the form and mind to arise again through a pure thought, out of love and what they call compassion. They have the four great vows of a bodhisattva. So they vow through their understanding and wisdom. They vow to take across all living beings within samsara to realize enlightenment and cross over to the other shore, which is to realize the cessation of form and mind, the unconditioned nibbana. And this one is a new way of arising without avijja. And because of the vow, they can condition a form and mind to arise through a pure thought, which is manifested by love and compassion. So out of love and compassion, it can also condition rebirth consciousness. And this one is without avijja. That's why the bodhisattva, they take birth also through the karmic nature, where they still have the karmic nature. Except now, upon death, there is no avijja. But they have this pure love and compassion through the vow. That's why it can condition a form of mind to arise. And that's how it's possible for the arising of beings without avidya. So that part is different. Okay, we go back to the sutta. So this first fearlessness derived from knowledge of all phenomena is very powerful. With knowledge of all phenomena, one is not afraid of anything, which is true. Because you will come to realize the anicchang, dukkang, anatta nature. That's why there is no more fear. Because everything is just the way it is, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. And because of that, if you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you entangle yourself. Suffering will arise. That's why the second universal characteristic of dukkang is there. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So that self-delusion of clinging onto the form of mind as the egoic entity which is permanent and unchanging is a delusion. And that one will cease. And because it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why the Buddha teach anatta nature. Anatta means it's not a permanent unchanging entity. Hence it's not you, it's not self. That's why some people call anatta as non-self, which is only one aspect of anatta. The real meaning of anatta is the empty nature, means empty nature of existence, because it's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not something that you can grasp onto, cling onto, hold onto, and want it to be such forever. May it be such. May it not be such, because it is self. But there is no such thing within the conditioned world. So when you penetrate this universal characteristic via that understanding of the universal characteristic of all phenomena and realizing the nature's law that governs life and existence, the last spiritual law, the three, I didn't finish. I only talk about karma niyama. That's how you can take rebirth through karma niyama. The second spiritual law is citta niyama, order of the mind. How we function as a human being. How through the, what they call nature's law of mind, citta niyama. This is how our mundane mind and true mind arise. And that process is called paticca samuppada. It's also the law of dependent originating. Our mind also arises through that process of dependent originating, condition arising, cause of knowing. That's why that mundane mind, the five aggregate of form and mind, Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vinyana, they are also impermanent. You attach and cling one thing's your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. And because it's impermanent, it is anatta in nature. Anatta means not a permanent, unchanging entity, non-self, not you. So all this develop wisdom. Then second type of fearlessness is in teaching the Dhamma. And this one is more difficult. This one you need to go to the perfect understanding, like the Sammasambuddha. So fearlessness in teaching the Dhamma here means when the Buddha expounded the Dhamma, he is like a roaring lion. That's why they call it the lion's roar, who fears nothing, because the king of the animal is a lion. So when they roar, all animals within the forest or animal kingdom, they fear actually. So this part is another aspect of fearlessness, where he has perfected himself, fully enlightened. He has perfected all the wisdom and virtue, the doubly perfect. Yeah. He's not only enlightened, but fully enlightened. And because of that, he can teach, he can share. He no need to refer to anything from the nature, straight from the heart. Everything arise and manifest. Then third is the fearlessness in explaining the impediments to awakening. This one also, you need a great being, the great Bodhisattva or Mahasattva. Of course, the Sammasambuddha will be the most perfect one. So fearlessness in explaining the impediment to awakening is also a very powerful understanding. So the Buddha fearlessly explained all the, here they use the word methods. It's not method actually. All the understanding, yeah, to overcome obstacle in attaining the enlightenment of Bodhi mind. So this Bodhi, attainment of Bodhi, is to realize enlightenment. So your ability to overcome all obstacles is a very important understanding that cultivator of the way must develop. Otherwise, this karmic obstruction or karmic impediment, they will obstruct you. They will create entanglement within the living beings. That's why when my nature arises to share the Bodhisattva way within the yellow card that I summarize for you all, there is one section, yeah, where I teach you how to overcome all karmic obstruction, how to ask for forgiveness, how to invoke power of merits and all those things. So all these are very useful understanding. To overcome all karmic obstruction, you really need to develop the wisdom and the understanding to do it. So here, within the yellow card, the first section is to make special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. Then after that, you vow, line after line, whenever you arise, to have the following right view. Right view with regards to law of karma, law of dependent originating or origination, dwelling, the four number two, and its three turning. Means karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Then the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind. That this five aggregates of form and mind, you must understand them clearly via the direct seeing, to realize that they are all conditioned arising entity, cause of phenomena, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, non-self, and empty. The so-called living being, the five aggregates of form and mind, is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world, to develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, to be a blessing to all and not to be deluded by it. Then to constantly recite with understanding the following profound Dhamma. Again, reminding you of the five aggregates of form and mind as impermanent, suffering state, non-self, and empty. Then you chant like what the Buddha taught the monk, Rupang Anicchang, Rupang Anatta. Then you repeat for Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnanang. Then you chant the final summary. Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. Then having developed the above right view, this nature of mind vows to always keep the three sets of pure precept. We are following the advice of all Sama Sambuddha. First set of pure precept is to avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then to cultivate all virtue and blessing leading to the perfection of them all. Then finally is to cultivate wisdom to help liberate and take across all living beings. Then followed by the taking of the four basic vows. Then after that, additional vow to break all karmic obstruction to bring about the way. This is what I have taught you. And these are very important understanding. That's why fearlessness of explaining to the cultivator the way how to overcome karmic obstruction or impediment is one of the requisites of a very well cultivated being, especially great beings, great bodhisattvas and Samasambuddha. So this additional vow, there I have state them clearly. There are four parts. First part is to break your karmic obstruction from the triple gem. If by action, speech, or thought process, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we are ignorant, delusion, or heedlessness, this nature of ours or mine had offended or done anything wrong out to the triple gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, this nature of mine would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. So this one is very powerful because karmic offense against the triple gem is usually very, very difficult to overcome unless you ask for forgiveness sincerely. You cannot really break it. But the beauty about this triple gem is the moment you ask, it's automatically through the nature's law dissolved. We're all enlightened beings will make the vow to forgive all beings, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that has caused any karmic negativity towards their nature. They vow to sincerely forgive them all. Then the second part is whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mind had caused any karmic negativity, misery, suffering, or misled. This nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. So this one is asking for forgiveness from all beings. Then may my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that this karmic obstruction can be amicably dissolved or watered down or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mind to continue with its cultivation, to realize the true Dhamma with ease. If you don't make this vow, you cannot. If you don't ask for forgiveness in this way, you cannot break the karmic obstruction. Then, of course, the third part is also very important. This nature of mind also vow to repent, and from now onward, vow never to repeat any of this karmic negativity born of greed, hatred, and delusion. By following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind, we are striving on new heedfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently so that it will never violate this law of karma again whenever it arises. Yeah. Then the last part. By the power of whatever wholesomeness or merit that this nature of mind had cultivated since the distant past until now, may it arise of causes and conditions. For this nature of mind to have the ability to overcome all other coming obstruction or obstacle amicably, so that this nature of mind will be able to gain back its life, life after life, to walk the path of Dhamma, to fulfill and realize all its bodhisattva ways. This one is to cover any other coming obstruction that are not covered by the above that you have recited. Then the rest is additional miscellaneous vow to enhance your cultivation. This one you can add on to the list later. These are the basic few that I have put in for you, so you can develop more of what your nature is. Every one of us is different. When we come, we got our special understanding, special cultivation that can enable us to develop special miscellaneous vow. You can look at the example of all the great beings. Their vows are very unique. Even Amitabha, Sakyamuni, and also Pusien Pusa, Wensu Pusa, Dizang Wang Pusa, Kuan Yin Bodhisattvas, all the great beings, they have their unique miscellaneous vow. Okay, now we continue back to the sutta. So number three, I have explained, fearlessness in explaining the impediment to awakening. Then last one is fearlessness in teaching the cessation of suffering. And this one also a very powerful wisdom, because the realization of Nibbana, the understanding is very deep, very deep. And most cultivators of the way, especially the Theravada tradition, most of them, they actually only touch the surface of what the cessation of suffering is. Of course, they can develop the wisdom to free, to be an arahant, no more rebirth consciousness at the moment of death. But they don't take the bodhisattva way. That's why they only go through the sainthood way, enlightenment, all the way until arahantaship, the fourth stage of sainthood. So they will realize the sotapannaship, first stage of sainthood, sakadagamiship, second stage of sainthood, anagamiship, third stage of sainthood, then arahantaship, the fourth stage of sainthood. Then to them, that's it, finished. No more problem, no more suffering, everything end. But then, that cultivation is just the initial cultivation. The Buddha called it the provisional teaching that he teach. But you need this to go through the understanding, really. Then only you can continue with the higher teaching. We are taking the bodhisattva way. As you go through the bodhisattva way, your cultivation becomes very different. Your understanding becomes very different. It becomes very extensive. Like I explained before. Because the whole of the cultivation is so extensive. But for the sainthood way, you don't need to do that much. Like I explained, the four support to develop awareness. You only need the first three support. You don't have to go to the fourth support trust. When you do the first three, you will stabilize your inner awareness. Then after that, you continue to cultivate with that stable sati inside. Then it can lead to enlightenment, nibbana. Initially, it's a glimpse, a momentary glimpse of that cessation, but it's powerful enough for you to understand the non-self nature. That's why even at the Sotapanna level, they know this form and mind is not a permanent, unchanging entity. He know you, he know me. That Sakaya Ditti, no more. And you tell them you die already, you become one. They will know you don't understand. Yeah, that one is not him. That one is dependent originating condition arising cause of phenomena, not a reality. Yeah. So the first three factors when they severe is very powerful. Yeah. So as a Sotapanna, the first factor that is severe is Sakaya Ditti, non-self, means they know that there is this form of mind is not a permanent unchanging entity, and this one is not them. This one is, of course, at that stage, they may not know that much as a bodhisattva. They may only know that it's not a permanent unchanging entity. But they may sometimes know a bit that it's karmically conditioned out, that's all. But they don't know the rest. So what happens is, when you realize a glimpse, then you can become a Sotapanna. Then later on become a Sakadagami. Then as your cessation goes deeper and the realization of Nibbana is longer and more stable, then you may realize Anagami. Yeah. But once you realize the Arahanta, that cessation is usually longer. Yeah. Sometimes they can go into that state for 7 days and 7 nights. They sometimes call it Nirodha Sahampati. But there are two types. One is through the jhana. The other one is through wisdom. The cessation of former mind. The mundane mind realizes itself and cease. Where the pure awareness nature also sees, then the whole nature return. It's not something return actually, it ceases and disappears. But that thing is dependent on originating, it's not you. But when it ceases, the strange thing is, even through the sainthood way, especially at the Arahant level, when you come out of it, you will understand the process of its creation. Yeah. But after you have gone through the Bodhisattva way, you have deeper understanding. Because the Bodhisattva way is a lot more extensive, the cultivation. Initially, for the sainthood way, like I said, your sati need not be that stable. You can have a glimpse of the cessation, then you transform. Then later on, you develop more stable wisdom, you root out the other factors, then you realize the cessation for a longer period. Then after that, when you become an Arahant, you definitely will not pass away with avijja anymore, no more ignorance. So you very sure, no more rebirth consciousness. But if you have the causes and conditions to go the Bodhisattva way, to continue with that extensive cultivation, and then you become different. Yeah. That's why in the early days, I can't teach all this. But after 2016, when the Bodhisattva way like appear to be something that Kayamita and cultivator of the way wanted. Because of course the same condition, I decided to teach after that 2016 onward. Actually end of 2015, when there were many Kayamita through email they wrote to me. Then I realized the condition is there. That's why I agree that I have that sharing. 4 sessions, then people develop the interest to transcribe it out. Then I compile it into a book, the Blue Book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. Yeah. So that was a very complete book. Then after that, the website also came out in the year 2017. That's why everything fall into place. Then I start to explain the 4 circle formation, which I never do until later part of my sharing. So the 4 circle formation is the Bodhisattva Way. So now maybe I explain one more time. After you develop the first 3 support, relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness, you go to the 4th support, trust, which the sainthood way don't have to do. Trust means you trust your nature to develop the internal movement, the internal meditative movement. So you silence everything, allow your awareness to stay at the heart area. Then let the awareness nature detect by itself, let it move, whatever vibration, whatever heartbeat that you can detect, stay with it, allow it to be. Then the awareness nature and the vibration, they will move. Then as it moves, it will transform. There will be a movement within, where there is no more interference from the thought process, the memory, yeah, the mundane thinking, the mundane mind, the mundane movement, no more. All from that nature. When that thing starts to move, your yin-yang energy that you have developed from your earlier practice or cultivation, they start to melt inside your gateway. You will detect your gateway. Yeah. After you stabilize it, you will detect the gateway. Then that movement of the energy through that gateway is very beautiful. Especially for the first time, those who want to go this way, make the vow and the aspiration, you silence everything. Then when it detects, it's like a natural movement. That movement from that nature will cause the yin-yang energy external to melt inside and to go in. It is like something, there's a gateway that open up and allow it to go in. Then it's very soothing, very still. Then your brain activity all like slow down until completely stop, until there is no brain activity at all. Then everything that go through is pure awareness. It transforms. Yin-yang become pure awareness nature. And the energy that go in, it will move itself. It will know where to activate and where to like stimulate and move. Yeah. That's why during that stage, you just let things be and let that nature move. That's why the word trust, T-R-U-S-T, is trust your nature to do the meditative movement. Don't direct it anymore with the thought. Then during that time, it will transform itself. It will like develop a very beautiful, what they call, movement inside, where that nature, it will activate all those that need to be activated. Then after that, that vibration of your pure awareness, consciousness starts to become more and more refined, more and more refined. Then later on, it will lead to the collapse of the mundane mind. Yeah. When the collapse of the mundane mind happens, a lot of things will happen. Yeah. That's why that type of cessation that you go through is very different. During that time, I remember, you keep on going into that nibbanic cessation. You keep on going in on. Yeah. And it's very easy. You go in, come out, go in, come out. And you cannot decide when to come out. It will come out by itself. But you are not dead. So all these are very beautiful, what they call happenings that the cultivator or the way can realize. That's why after that, you can continue your cultivation. And it will be a very, very beautiful and wonderful journey. That's why it's very rewarding. Even my nature from my past, after I have cultivated all this, then this life when I came, 1989, when all these things happened, even until today, I think almost 35 years already, that movement is still there, unending, is still there. But every time it moves and it transforms, a lot of things happen. That's why that type of experience that one go through, if you take that way, is so unique, so beautiful. That's why you go back to the text. You read the fourth fearlessness. Fearlessness in teaching the cessation of suffering means the nibbanic experience. Move up further. I read this last part. Oh, no more. Okay. Enough. So this understanding, unless there is causes and conditions, my nature will share. Otherwise, enough. Because not easy to reach all the stages. But my nature rejoices with a few Kayamita who has progressed very well, detected the gateway, went in, and now moving on their own. So all this are very beautiful understanding. That's why this website is very important. Later on, as you progress, listen to it again. 9:41. Okay, a few more minutes. We go back to the notes. I will continue a bit more. So next part of the sutta say, he has great spiritual powers or might and the power of wisdom. So here the commentary say, with great spiritual powers, the Buddha can save all living beings, leading them to leave behind suffering and attain bliss. The Buddha's power of wisdom differ from petty cleverness, the way they use the English. Actually, the Buddha's great wisdom really is very different, because he is not an ordinary enlightened being. He is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. And we can say at the time of their arising, they are the wisest and most virtuous living being ever to be born. Then here the Buddha say, the Buddha has four kinds of wisdom. The wonderful wisdom of observation, that's why they can observe and they can develop the understanding. What does the Buddha know? Why does the Buddha know everything? It is because he has wonderful wisdom of observation. He observes the living being. Then he can know what are the past causes and conditions they have gone through and why they are such, and how they come to be what they are. That's why they call it omniscient. That great power of omniscient. That's why knower of the world. Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vija charana sampanno. Sugato, lokavido, knower of the world. So all these are the nine great virtues that he has. Then the second one is the wisdom that brings everything to perfection. Means he has perfected himself. The Buddha has succeeded in all he does because he has the wisdom that brings everything to perfection. That's why the ten perfection. Then the wisdom of great perfect mirror. The Buddha's wisdom is like a big perfect mirror. When a situation arises, it is reflected. When the situation is over, the image is gone. It illuminates all phenomena as empty in nature, interpenetrating perfectly without obstruction. This is the realization of the oneness nature, everything within the manifestation, all can be perfected to understand. Then number four, the wisdom that look upon self and others as equal. The Buddha is impartial towards all living beings. He does not discriminate between them. So this one is obvious. Eh? These are the four kinds of wisdom that comprise the power of great wisdom. Okay, we stop here. Eh? We stop here. 9:45, okay, so that we will continue from here next session. I'll mark this page. Okay, now we'll open up for our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. Eh? Then we can also have our Dhamma discussion on today's topic or anything about the teaching that you may want me to explain. You can ask any question. Then sharing of Dhamma in daily life also.
Good evening, Sister Pocheng and Oka Amita and Brother Teo and Sister Teo. I maybe got a question because like during the sitting, I feel like it's my mind is still not really that the body able to be still.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because you could know how to relax.
But the mind, I mean, sometimes it goes to the heart, but sometimes it's
wander
it
off.
Still like wander off, but it comes back again. And then I noticed that this chest area having some
tightness.
Tightness, and also the forehead area.
Yes.
Yeah, and
because
then,
you know why? When that part got thought process there, when you apply the so-called thought there, you're supposed to be relaxed and maintain awareness there. It means no thought there. But when you try to stay there, like those people doing one-pointedness, they try to put their thought energy there, then it builds up. Then this area. That's why when you think a lot up here, the forehead, here tend to have a lot of sankhara activity. And when people are here, sometimes they feel that they have like tightness. Yeah. That membrane inside there like create the tension inside there. That's why they feel that they are not relaxed. And sometimes restless, agitated and all those things. So that is the result of the mundane mind, the thinking, the thought process, your habitual mental activity that tend to be there. Then for your case, you have the benefit of yoga, where you are a yoga teacher, you know how to relax. But you must understand to relax is not to try to focus or concentrate or know anything. That will help you. Relax means just feel it soothingly. Relax. Don't try to know. Don't like want to be there. You know the difference between want to be there and just relax, maintain awareness. When you maintain awareness, you are not here yet. Understand not? Because this one at the heart area, you only go there when you have stabilized your awareness. You understand? When you have stabilized your awareness, then you go there and let it detect itself and let the meditative awareness move. But before it stabilize, don't go there. Because you go there, it will create the thought process again, like when you put it at the brain. But the brain is worse because here the senses are just around the forehead and the sana, your eye, your ear. And this is your habitual movement throughout the day. That's why this brain, which is knowledge, every moment of sense experience, whatever you see, the brain is so near. That's why this unthink, the heavier tendency still react and create emotion. That's why the human psyche, the emotion goes to the heart there. Because the heart there is a center point which is responsible for all your emotion. That's why when you have sadness, when you have sorrow, when you have fear, all happen at the heart. But of course, when there is love, when there is good relationship, also happen at the heart, and now you feel very good. But the one negative one is very agitated one. So at the heart area there is a center which is emotion, exactly at the center. Whereas if it's at the slightly towards the left, the gateway, that one is not the emotion. That one is awareness. Living being don't know how to go there. But that one need to be detected, then stabilized. So what you do to improve on your meditation is don't try to know, just relax. Yeah, you are good in yoga, you know how to relax, just relax. Then don't fall asleep, unless you are very tired. Then you need to let it go and fall asleep and have a good rest and recuperate. Otherwise, maintain awareness. Means every time you want to fall asleep, aware. Every time you want to fall asleep, aware. Then sometimes, no need to like wait for it to fall asleep. At the threshold, before you go into the unconscious or the subconscious, you will snore. For most people, almost 99% of the people, they will snore. At the first moment of snoring, where you maintain awareness, the snoring will trigger off the awareness. Then you become aware again. That's why you look at those who do the lying down meditation. Of course, initially there are some, like Jin Hao last time, they snore until they don't know what is going on. Like in the La La Land. You know what is La La Land, Dreamland. But later on, he improved. Unless he very tired. But for most people, snore, one sound, sometimes before it complete, at the moment it, before it go down the full, they already aware. Then, during that time, the awareness is just aware. It don't try to focus, it don't try to stay there, it don't try to know, understand? Get that understood. Then, every time it, like, trigger off through your hearing, that snore, hearing conscious, aware, finish. Understand? Don't continue. Then whatever that go through the memory also say, come out, aware, finish. It will go off, it will cease. You will not need to like want to cut it off. No need. You just relax, maintain awareness. The moment you're aware, finish. Well, after that, if you continue, the thinking will come, the perception will come, then the curiosity will come, the thought process will come. So you try to develop that understanding, then next time your meditation will progress very fast. Then you realize after you relax, you don't try to do anything, the stillness comes in, the tranquility, that calmness, the peacefulness, it will just set in. Then you feel very good. Then you can maintain awareness for as long as you can, it will stabilize. Then during that time, after training for a few sessions, you will realize whatever arrives, you are not interested really. Not like last time. You want to know, your mind will have the habitual tendency to react. Then the like, dislike, pleasant, unpleasant, then the habitual movement. All those activities you realize slowly, 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 no more. Can follow? Good. Then go back, listen, and it will help you.
And I also got another question because I went to a retreat earlier, end of the year, then I noticed that every time if I because that time I without anything behind my back, so I'm sitting myself. So every time when I relax until, you know, sometimes we go to the heart. Mean like I used to go to the heart. And then at a point, it's just like, then the whole body will be moving already. But here is, because I'm leaning towards the back. So got a backrest. So that's why I feel the moving, but I don't really need to move a lot.
You know, but this is, you know why the movement come or not? Because there is the energy that manifests from your body. In the past, you might have done some of this, what they call, maybe I just give example, very lightly. It's similar to Reiki, where they use the energy to heal people and all those things. Or you do Qigong or what. Then the energy will build up. Actually, wherever you locate your mundane mind, the thought process, that's why the jhanic factor, initial application of thought, initial thought, they put their thought there, like focus on the nostril, or focus at the heart area, or focus at the rising, falling, or focus at the, they call it the third eye, the forehead, or the chakra and all that. All this focusing will lead to energy. Well, wherever you allow your thought is energy. The energy will build up there. There's a lot of people in the retreat, they find very difficult to bring their energy down. Last time, Glenn, you all got one brother, Tay. Every time you go retreat, he will come and see me. He said, brother Teo, the forehead there. Because this is where he think a lot and habitual, and he has been there where daily life is not in order all the time there. So for people like him, the best way is to shift the awareness down. Means the thought don't stay at the forehead. But here at the forehead, you understand how energy build up. Even my last teacher, my last guide, he said, you stay here, the forehead, this is hell. Is it? Why? Because like the Buddha, he also know, Sankara Nichang, Sankara Dukkang, Dukkang, that is hell. So Sankara, the more you think, the more suffering will be there. Unless you don't go and think about emotional things. Means like a scientist or like a very a person who study and have a lot of passion in whatever field, philosophy or what, they use their brain power, their what they call thought process, for analytical thing. Then even weird and other things. They also use their thought process a lot. This type of people, they don't use it for psychological memory, they will not suffer. They become more creative. That time when I was a student, I was a science student. I was very good at science and physics and mathematics. So that time I can focus, I can concentrate in the class, and I can do my subject. Maths or physical study, chemistry, biology, or even geography, which I like a lot. I can spend the whole day on. Sometimes no need to sleep on. I can just concentrate on it. But the energy is used in the correct way. Means not to think until you got fear, worry, anxiety, and get yourself entangled with suffering. Because no wrong thought, no wrong view, no delusion. So coming back to your question of this energy, when you stay at the heart, like you say you go to other retreat, they tend to move. But when you are here, you move less because the energy here is different. Here is wisdom energy, which is understanding Dhamma. Then when you listen, you become different. So whatever arise, last time Yun Chan also like you one. Ria Yun Chan also do Reiki. Wow, he moved a lot, I read a lot. But nowadays, less already, much, much less already. So some individual, they got this tendency. But don't worry, these are from the past. So when you understand, you remember the four support, the first three, relax, which you know how to do, then don't complicate matter. After relax, don't go and try to be here, try to be there, focus and use the thought to analyze. Forget about it. When you do that, you will fall into the thought base again and energy will develop again. What you should do is just relax, then maintain awareness. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Like that snoring or what, aware, finish. Then don't try to know, just relax, maintain awareness. Then stabilize it until the awareness is very, very stable. It can only become stable when thought starts to slow down. Because when you know how to relax and maintain awareness, thought cannot arise on it, basically. Unless you give it energy, you continue with the thought proliferation or thinking. If you don't do that, it cannot arise. That's why I say, whenever you feel tightness or movement, you just be with it, understand? Not? Don't reject it. Don't feel aversion towards it. Just like what Kong Lun went through, be with it. It can be anger, it can be fear, worry or anxiety, or even your energy movement. Don't develop negativity or dislike towards what happened. Understand? But that is a sensual desire and ill will. If you attach to it, it becomes sensual desire. If you resist it, don't want it to arise, you don't like it, it becomes negative tendency, hatred. So these are mental hindrances. When these mind states are there, oscillating, it makes you habitual in that thinking. Then every time you stir your mind, you create mental hindrance until it becomes habitual, until it takes over you. Means you don't know how to relax and maintain awareness anymore because you always wanting your way, and when you cannot get what you want, you will develop the aversion towards it. So don't. Whatever happens, accept it, embrace it, be with it, silent. Let the awareness stay there. Then you will realize the movement, the shaking all stop. Yeah. Then that heart there, the tightness all disappear, dissipate. Yeah. Even the forehead, you can relax and be with it. It's like you accept what happened. Treat it like a friend. Be with it. And relax into it. And see it dissipating. Once you see it dissipating, when you experience the tranquil mind, the still mind, without movement at all, that is your pure awareness coming back to you. And that is the meditative mind. And that is the one that is no longer focusing or concentrating or want to be there. It's just aware there. Yeah. That's why wherever you locate that mind, you don't think, then the awareness stay there, then it will not give it any more thought energy. You don't think. Then all of the movement that arise earlier on that caused the shaking and the tightness, they will dissipate. Then disappear. And then you realize, that was your original mind, your pure awareness nature, before the stirring, before the movement. Originally, it was like that. Then how come you become conditioned into that tightness and agitation? Well, the thought is there. Understand? So when you understand, you have faith, you give it a try. Relax. Maintaining awareness is very important. Maintaining awareness is not to like put the thought there. That's all. It's just that awareness nature, where the thought is very near. Any mental activity or movement will create the thought process already. That's why from the pure awareness nature, this one stir, this one create and react. Because it develop the movement through your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. You input the content, even fear, emotion, all this come from your wrong thought. Yeah. So understanding this part is very critical. Then as you become more skillful, you understand more, this process keep on repeating until you become very good at it. Then you stabilize your pure awareness without thought. Without thought, you can still be aware. Right? No movement, nothing. Not in a conditioned state. Not in one-pointedness. Not focusing, not concentrating, no method, no technique, just aware. Yeah. That is the fastest way to go in to your nature. Okay? Next time you try that. Yeah. Any more questions? No? Okay, good.
Good evening, Mr. Stew and all Kamita. But you, actually that day 我讲到我的 experience 被好像被 stir 这样子 after that 他就一下子就静下来
yeah, yeah.
然后静下来之后 忽然间过了几天 我发觉到我的 就是我很多时候就是 只是 aware 或者 perceive and then aware perceive 罢了，他就不会很想知道外面的东西这样子，他就很静下来，就是他就是一个 part of 你的 training 这样子，给你去看到整个这个所谓的 mundane mind
yeah, yeah,
manifestation
yeah.
还有你的 habitual tendency、嗯。还有你要经过这一切的去理解，
对，
所以我很感恩
这一次
的，
yeah, very good.
所以我很这样讲，就是很 full of joy 的
yeah,
去 accept
yeah, yeah.
这一切的发生，
嗯，
所以一切的发生都是美好的
，Yeah， 对，
所以接下来然后那天我去跟 LC 去等别人，因为我经过加拉安邦，我就想到LC 说他要普门品，然后我就叫 Freddy drop 我去帮他请那个金哦、然后我一进去，我 after pay respect 给所有的菩萨或者佛然后我就有一种感觉，好像我又回家这样子。
哇，啥的。
然后不久之后，然后我就好像跟那个药师佛的佛号就 connect 了，
啊，
就一直 play 那个药师佛的佛号。
啊，他就自己现出来。
对。Then after that， 我就没有再怎样。然后刚才我在来引导的时候，哇，他的那个佛号一直在
沙都沙都啊，
哇，他
在你的心头那边，
对，他让我很 still 很
yeah 沙都嗯。
Then after that， 我听到每个人的所有的 activity，
对 ，full see everything 嗯、
yeah, Then after that， 我自己哎呀，干嘛我想睡也睡不去。就是我就是 fully aware 到所有
，sadhu 很好。
经过了到 after brother 就在分享的时候，我还是出不来，然后我就继续的去 lie down。
Yeah.
Then 我可以 aware 到 certain 到一个时候，我的 awareness 好像没有掉了。
对。
就我就进去 ，sadhu。Then after 当我出来哦，我出来的很 slow。
啊，对，
看到整个的过程这样子，
沙丢，
他那个药师佛的药师咒还是一直在啊，然后我就很多的 gratitude， 然后我就一直流泪，一直感恩，
呀，
药师佛在加持，
沙丢，
然后就是他很 still 弄到你整个人真的是好像。就是没有个人这样子，
对，
就是他
那个整个 nature 来进到啊，来 nobody inside there， 啊、，but the awareness is there very clear， 啊、，then later on like she described， even the awareness also no more， 啊、，then you went in， the cessation, then come out again. Sadhu, very good, 很好。
所以 Brady， 我到现在还是好像怎么样说？
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 还是很近。
对，所以我就分享到这里，因为我不再想。
可以可以可以。
感恩大家，感恩阿弥陀佛。
Yeah， 阿弥陀佛。
Maybe Brother Song 可以 continue 分享。
Can. Okay, let us rejoice first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Brother Mr. Steele, 我给阿弥陀佛晚上好。
晚上好。
十五分钟。
还有十五分钟，没事。
OK， 我之前有就在 daily 里面有几个experience 就有一天我在 office 的时候你可以 aware 到那个 Monday night 一 arise 的时候，你的 body 是跟着 tense out。
对对对对。
等等 next moment， 它又马上在 relax， 它又整个这样子。
对。
好、哦，停下
来灭掉。
我想，它是 auto 的这样子。就我等 after that 我就知道说 ，no wonder 我们只要一有Monday night 一 arise， 一有这个 thoughts 的时候，你的 energy 就会 build。
对对对对。那个 thought energy。
所以如果是弄完的过后，我又明白是说我们的这个每个 thought 它 generate 了这个 energy 的时候如果是我们很多的 anger 的话，这个 energy 会 trap 在我们的 body 里面。
对对 对， 对，
所以就变成我们会有很久了以后就会有一些那种symptoms， 就会有一些病症。
对对，病症
这个也是 part of the karma 来的。
对呀呀karmic manifestation， 但它是一种 negative vibration 来的。They call it the what they call it is a karmic conditioning that arise and develop as stress inside the human being。它是一种 stress 来的。Because every arising is actually suffering。Later on, when your mind is very near what they call the cessation of forming mind already, it becomes very sensitive. Sensitive until every moment of knowing that perception that continue as the memory retrieve, that perception become a concept or a knowing, that one itself is suffering. That's why every moment of feeling is suffering. Every moment of thought activity, that movement is suffering. Then you will reach a point where the wisdom will tell you, think also like that, don't think also like that. You want to suffer? Use the mundane mind. You want to suffer? Continue your thinking. You will come to know that. And you become very sensitive. You know? Then during that time, like Alicia went through, he said, these are like the learning curve that she goes through. Every time he sees the thought manifestation that causes her to stir and react to the habitual tendency, although a moment only, then after that, the yoniso manasikara come out, he sees. This become a learning. Then he realized all of Dhamma is like that. All of Sankara is like that. And this is how living beings get into trouble, entanglement. So Sankara Anicang, Sankara Dukkang, all of Dhamma is anatta, anatito, means not a permanent and unchanging entity, not something that you can call this is me, this is I, that Sakayatiti will start to cease. Then she know from there, she just laughed at it. Well, the understanding is that. Then after that, no more arising. Yeah. Then he is more and more at peace throughout the day. No matter what happens, how busy she is, how entangled with mundane, what they call life activity and situation, he will not get agitated anymore. Well, the understanding is there. the right duty of the form and mind is understood already. So it know how to only do its duty, accord and flow, and no more resistance like previously, wanting her will, no more. All the wrong thought all cannot arise already. She went through that process of depression 16 years. And that one she see very clearly already. That's why from all this, the understanding will help her. Then with her affinity with Ti Sang Wang Pusa, the chanting will come and lead her to that inner awareness stability. Then after that, it transforms her. And her meditation nowadays, she can just move in, move out very fast. And the awareness nature has stabilized until the gateway or a few years ago already detected and it went in. And this has been going on for many years. That's why she is now very different. And this is the real transformation. So for Song, is also the same, similar. He is also going through this phase. Then now he starts to develop the understanding of how this mundane mind creates stress within the human body. And that stress comes from energy. He will see it as energy first. Then later on, he will become so sensitive until he understands that all this arising is Sankhara. And Sankhara is anicchang, it comes and it goes. Then you hold on to it, one thing is your way, it causes suffering. That's why Sabbe Sankhara Dukkang. That one, he will come to know more and more, more and more. And through this constant awareness, he will also develop the understanding in his own unique way. Because he, I don't know whether any other great being chanting him to you or not. Maybe you, then never mind. Maybe Pusian one will come later. Because last time I remember when I started, Kuan Yin and Amitabha, wow, these two very powerful. They are chanting, keep on coming. The Amitabha one, it just came in and recite and do the chanting at my forehead there. Then after that, come to the heart. Kuan Yin also same. So everyone is different, depending on your affinity. So you continue, huh? So,
Then, 那个时候我就过后我就 aware 到, 那个时候它只是 arise, contents 还没有进去, 就, as long as 它 一 arise 的时候, 就, 哦, 那你的 body 就跟着会 tense out,
the stress tense out,
但是 contents 还没有进去,
对,
我讲, 哇, 如果 contents 进去了的时候, 又是 another 的 stage 了,
well, the movement from that content, depending on what content, your habitual content is still with the delusion one. But after it stabilized, the thing that went in is pure. Pure feeling, pure perception, pure thought process. That's a right thought. No more wrong thought. Then the stirring less and less, less and less. You want to know your progress is by being aware. When you become aware, you become more sensitive. When you become more sensitive, then you realize slight of this Sankhara activity, which is not the right thought, it will condition stress inside one. You feel it very fast one. The slight dislike, or I won't call it aversion, the slight, very slight, how you call it already? It's not the word dislike, you know, it's like uneasiness, but at a very light level, understand? Like very slight, like that irritation that irritate you, not strong one, but you can feel, you know, to you become so sensitive. Oh, that light and dislike, although not magnified one, not the gross one, but even the fine one, when it try to create some slight aversion, slight dislike, you sense it already. and it can never come out already. Because no point. And you become so sensitive at the heart area. Because most of the time it's so tranquil, so still, quiet, without anything. But when that thing come in, that movement become very clear to you. That's why you cannot get yourself agitated anymore. Of course you want to laugh, you want to join the society or the world. Yeah? Means when you are with your friend or what, you want to have the joy, the laughter or what. It's like the third level of seeing. Kan san yuzi san, you go back to normal again. You can be that. Yeah? But most of the time inside the awareness is different. The awareness know this is for the world. Nasana. Because sometimes you are in the midst of a situation where it requires you to be normal. So you behave like normal. Yeah. But when you are in front of people who have the understanding and the Dhamma, you will talk to them differently. Yeah. It depends on the situation and all that. And all this will manifest. That's why I say the training, the Dhamma that you learn, all this are not in the book. They are developed through your progress. As you progress, you develop all this understanding yourself. Nobody can teach you all this unless that being has gone through that. Yeah. That's why when I was ready in 1989, I realized I was ahead of time. A lot of the so-called cultivator or those who want to learn, I realized they were so far behind, understand? A lot of things they cannot understand. That is just the way it is. So as you go through this, you will come to know conditions like that, things be like that. Living being is just the way they are. And all this takes time. That's why over the last now 20 plus years already, 20 years, a lot of things has happened and a lot of karmita has progressed. That's why there is a lot of joy in sharing all this. Now all the sharing that come out is so different now. It's at another level already. No longer at the Dhamma level. It's at the cultivation level already. Yeah. Continue. Yeah. Another 2-3 minutes. You can summarize.
Okay. 我发现到最近因为早上在 office 的时候一个人 then 我忽然间最近很喜欢听那个 Amy Wee 的那个 Metta 所以我每天早上就开小小声一边做工一边听 like, 你就讲讲你就很不是 enjoy 就是你就一直在那个 stage 里面的一直去他的那个 Metta 的那个 chanting 的那个 vibration 我想以前我都不听这些的所以现在就每一天早上只要没有人在我就开小小声来一些 background
对对对，like very soothing one to you
对对对，你了解了吗？你有了那个
what they call understanding of that metta, that one is very important. That's why in the early years I listened to all this a lot, and I like the song. The chanting, even the what they call Kuan Yin Pusa, Amitofo, where the vibration is very conducive. Then Imi Ui later on when they came out with this Metta chant, especially the Pali version, Avirahantu Hariparantu, the vibration is very beautiful, very conducive. Then your heart flow with it. Very good. Sometimes the translation also very good. The English, the Mandarin. How? Now my summarize.
可以。就这个cultivation 的这个 process 是很 wonderful 的。
对。
Especially stabilize 了这个 mindfulness 了以后。这个是mindfulness 要去 stabilize
最重要的是 stabilize that mindfulness
你 stabilize 了以后它就自己的manifest
会给你看得到会给你了解 That's why that awareness, which is the silent mind, can observe very clearly. But there is no thought interference. You are not lost in thought. You are in that state of awareness, fully aware of the movement, the activity. That's why you can see things as they are. You can insight into phenomena, and you can awaken. That's why without sati, the real understanding cannot manifest. Mm. 很好 ，very good。
我们下次再 continue。
可以可以可以。Okay, let us rejoice. Huh? Today very good sharing. Even Tammy's question also very good. Huh? Help a lot of people to develop understanding. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us share merit. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika.Punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana ita wata jam ihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati sidiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyoIdang menyatinang hotu suhita hontunya teyo Idang menyatinang hotu suhita hontunya teyo Devo asatukalena sasasampati hetuca Vito bawatu lokoca Raja bawatu dhammikoImina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu 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 Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones, eh? Then we end. Sadhu.